We're going to be in Ephesians 5 this morning, and we're also going to be taking a look at the Gospel of John, and I will be reading some texts from 1 John as well, giving you a bit of a heads up this morning. starting in Ephesians 5. Let's read together this morning. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather a giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Honing in this morning on Ephesians 5, 6 through 14, one thing I want to point out in verse 8, I think it is, but now you are light in the Lord. To be a light. I'll read this for you this morning. Years ago in America, when many traveled by train and buggies were common, there was a tragedy at a rural railroad crossing. A carriage containing an entire family was struck by a coming train and its occupants were killed. There was an investigation and a man assigned to watch that particular crossing and warned travelers of the approaching trains, was examined. They asked him if he was at the crossing that night, as he was supposed to be. He replied that he was. They asked, did you know the train was coming? Yes, it was right on time as always. Did you take your lantern and go out to meet it, as you were supposed to do, the examiner continued. Yes, and did you wave it back and forth to warn that the train was coming? Yes. That was the heart of the examination. So after a few more routine inquiries, their inquest was dropped. The conclusion was that it had been just one of those unfortunate accidents for which there was no known cause. Years went by, but at the time of his death, the incident emerged again on the gentleman's thinking. He was heard moaning over and over, oh, those poor people. Oh, those poor people. A friend asked what he was talking about. And when he explained that it was the accident at the railroad crossing many years before, his friend tried to reassure him, saying, but there was a careful investigation of that, his friend explained. You were completely exonerated. The gateman said, but there is one question they did not ask me. They did not ask me if the lantern was lit. It had not been. And the death of the family in the carriage was the consequence. As Christians, we are light in the Lord. The question for us this morning is, are we lit up for the Lord? Is our lantern lit, as it were. When we consider that we are lights in the Lord, as Jesus would say, He is the light of the world, as we will see. And then He said that we are lights of the world, lights in this world. We want to first carefully consider the source. And when we say we are lights in this world and we are lights in the Lord, we need to carefully consider the source. That is our first point. Where do we get our ability to illuminate? Where do we get our ability to shine for the Lord? Well, God is pictured as light in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Just a couple of verses here in the Old Testament from the Psalms. A Psalm of David, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? My light and my salvation. And in Psalm 104, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Cover yourself with light as with a cloak. And then, as I mentioned, we'll see from the Gospel of John what it says about light. If you'd go there with me this morning to the Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 1, and we will take a look at a few verses and we'll take a look in different chapters this morning. We see the Gospel of John. We see that Jesus is the light of men. The Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those were his own did not receive him. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus is the light of men. The one who knows God the Father and makes Him known to men. I'm reminded of a song, a contemporary song that we used to sing in the church where I got converted in Calvary Chapel of Melbourne. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. And then it would say, the song would go, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. Light of the world. Christ came into the world, the light of the world. Men had light. The light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And in verse 5, we just saw, Jesus came as the light into a dark world, exposing works of darkness. Those who are darkness, who live in darkness, did not comprehend it, did not grasp it, nor did they like it. So they did not embrace Christ, the light of the world. The same is true today. This is why we can see, as news reports would tell us, that they would even burn the Word of God, because they hate the light of Christ. Darkness hates Christ because He is the light. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 19. Jesus speaking, he says, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may have been manifested as having been wrought or accomplished in God." Darkness wants nothing to do with the light because it exposes their darkness. It exposes their dark heart. Therefore, we conclude, as we Christians are light in this world, light in this world, darkness does not think very highly of us either. People who do not know Christ are in darkness. They are darkness, and they are walking in darkness. They do not want light, nor the sons of light. Look at John 8 this morning. We are considering the source of light, Jesus Christ, who says, "I am the light." John 8, 12. We consider the context here of who is there. The Pharisees, at the very least, were there. If what is spoken in verse 1 through 11, if that is indeed right here where it is chronologically, then we see the context here and we see that the woman caught in adultery as well is here. And Jesus says to her, "I do not condemn you either. Go from now on, sin no more." So the Pharisees were there, if indeed this is chronological right here. But look what Jesus says in chapter 8, verse 12. "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Saying that right there in their midst. What was going on during this time that makes it even more significant? This is shortly after the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, there's a lot to be said about that. Just a few brief things. On the first night of the feast, and possibly the following nights, two huge lamps were lit in the courts of the temple that were seen throughout parts of the city of Jerusalem. Lamps meant as a reminder of the pillar of cloud and fire that was with the people in the desert wanderings. See in Exodus 13, 21, 22, "The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they might travel by day and by night." The cloud was of immense importance. It symbolized God's presence with the people. So we think of this Feast of Tabernacles that was going on. Think of the Jews celebrating, numerous people there. And these big lights lit up, and other festivals and other festivities going on as well. Many draw attention to the ceremonies of lights at the Feast of Tabernacles and suggest that Jesus was consciously fulfilling the symbolism suggested by them, commentaries would say. But indeed, if you think of all the people that were there and the lights that were lit up, and they, with the significance of what they had in this Feast of Tabernacles that they were celebrating, and Jesus stands there and says, "I am the light of the world," they would know exactly what he was talking about. Just as when he said, "I am," they knew exactly that he was claiming to be God. "I am the light of the world," says the Lord Jesus Christ. "He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What a tremendous promise we have that indeed when we follow Jesus Christ, we have the light of life and we will not walk in darkness. We, as lights in the Lord, we point to Christ and we say, "He is God." Just as Jesus says, "I am the Lamb of God," or "I am the light of the world," rather, we say in our as we testify that Jesus is the light of the world. We point to Christ. He is the light, and no one has to walk in darkness anymore who embrace Christ. So we consider the source of being lights in the Lord, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And then we want to consider, secondly, consider who we are and consider who we were. We've seen this time and time again in the book of Ephesians, contrasts, who we were and who we are now. That we were darkness, we were formerly darkness, that described us. That was an adjective to describe us. If someone says, hey, Wes, what were you like before you were a Christian? Well, I was darkness. Well, what did you do? Well, I walked in darkness as well. The sphere that I lived in was darkness. Formerly darkness, but now light in the Lord. Look at 1 John. This is a text that's familiar to us, but nevertheless, we ought to read it anyway. 1 John, beginning in verse 5, my heading in the scripture says, God is light. So, therefore, I must turn here for this morning. Familiar text for us, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and following. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, with Christ, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Since we're here, let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Let's start there. Behold, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother in Christ, the one who loves his brother abides in the light, lives in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. There is such a contrast between walking in light and walking in darkness. And darkness is not to be even named among the Christian. That's who we were. Darkness, depraved, lost, dead in sin, unable to come to Christ on our own. We walked in darkness as well. That was our sphere. But now, light in the Lord, light describing us. When Jesus was in the world walking with his disciples, he said in John 9, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Amazing where he said this, the context. Immediately after he said this, he healed a blind man who ultimately would say, one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Interesting that Jesus being the light of the world, but no one can see the brightness of Jesus Christ unless God draws them to himself. Sovereign grace. And Jesus is no longer in the world as he was walking with his disciples, walking as we read in the Gospels. He sent a helper, as we know, the Holy Spirit. We read that in the Gospel of John. But he also said something to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, which applies to us as well. He says, you are the light of the world. Lowercase l. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. So therefore, since we are light of the world, and since we should not be hidden, and since we do not hide, we are to do what? In verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The light of Christ is reflected to the world by us. We are the light in this world now. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, in whose case the God, lowercase g, speaking of the God of this world, not God, but Satan, the prince of darkness, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Christians, are we shining bright in this dark world? We are lights. That's a description of one description of a Christian. Christian, are we dim? Are we dim? It's a tremendous responsibility to be lights in this world. But also a word of caution. We are to be like John the Baptist in his message when he says, I am not the Christ. We testify about the light, point people to the light, saying, he's the one, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist did. Anytime we think that we are something special, our light grows dim, and it can happen very quickly. We become ineffective in our witness. Our witness for Christ becomes useless. As a church, we need to heed and read the warnings Christ gives to the churches in Revelation, specifically to Ephesus, cautioning not to leave our first love. To Laodicea, cautioning us not to be lukewarm. I'd like to read something for you. That was a great encouragement for me. This is recently, I think last week, maybe the week before, I mentioned a baseball player. Now I'm going to talk about a basketball player. In the NBA, I'm going to read this article here, some of it. Throughout the first 2 days of games, every team that played knelt for the national anthem while wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt as a form of silent protest. There was only one holdout. One. Orlando Magic forward Jonathan Isaac, who is a black man, neither knelt nor wore a Black Lives Matter shirt. Instead, standing for the anthem while wearing his jersey, he cited the gospel as his explanation during his post-game media availability. He says, a lot went into my decision, and part of it is I thought that kneeling or wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt doesn't go hand in hand with supporting black lives. He also says, I didn't feel like putting that shirt on and kneeling went hand in hand with supporting black lives. I believe that for myself, my life has been supported by the gospel, Jesus Christ, and everyone made in the image of God. And that we all forge through God's glory. He also says each and every one of us does things that we shouldn't do and say things that we shouldn't say. We hate and dislike things that we shouldn't hate and dislike. And sometimes it gets to the point where we point fingers. So I felt I wanted to take a stand on. We all make mistakes. But I think that the gospel of Jesus Christ is that there's grace for us. and that Jesus came and died for our sins. And if we all come to an understanding of that, and that God wants to have a relationship with us, that we can get kept, that we can get kept all of the things in our world that messed up, that are messed up. He says, I think when you look around, racism isn't the only thing that plagues our society, that plagues our nation, that plagues our world. And I think coming together on that message that we want to get past not only racism, but everything that plagues us as society, I feel like the answer to that is the gospel. 22 years old. What are most 22-year-old men doing? This man obviously has a privilege to be in the NBA. 22, unless I'm incorrect. A young man standing for the gospel when all of his other teammates and the other team is kneeling. He says, I stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll again challenge you, parents of your children, if they say, I want to like to see this, what Pastor West was talking about. I ask you, let them see this and let them see what it looks like for a young man to stand when the society is saying you must kneel. And the man says, no, I will stand for the glory of Jesus Christ. I don't know much about the gentleman, but I know what he said, and we can look at that. So we see this man stood out, and we ought to stand out in this culture. But just living the faith or living the life is not enough. It does not cut it. What did John the Baptist do? He testified. He opened his mouth with the message about Jesus. We must do the same, brothers and sisters, to just claim to be a witness by never saying anything but just smiling and living before others is like having a witness stand before a judge and jury, and this is the star witness. What do you have to say for yourself? And he says, I plead the fifth. I say nothing. But you're the witness. I'm not going to say anything. We are to do both. Live as lights in this world and testify of the lights of the world. We are to live lives that shine brightly so that when we do open our mouths about the things of the Lord, the way we live does not contradict the things we say. People are converted by hearing a message about Christ. But there are times when we need to say nothing, but live before others and love them. That's not the norm, but there's times when we need to do that, when we need to not say anything more. Examples. Some of you may have adult children, and they're out of the house now. And you've raised them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've poured out into them. Some of you are raising kids now, and one day they will exit your house. And you've prayed for them. You've wept, God, please save them. Make sure that they're Christians, Lord. I want to be sure, God, please help us. You read the Word of God to them. You do devotions with them. But then they grow up, and they don't go to church anymore. And they start giving you pushback on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you've done all you could. You've witnessed to them. They know, they've heard it time and time again. And they want to still have a relationship with you. We don't need to be going with the Roman roads every time we have a conversation with them. Am I saying don't share the gospel? Absolutely not. But there's times when we need to be careful But by all means, if they want to know, we share with them. But if they're like, no, don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. But I still like to go to lunch. Or I still like to talk with you. I still want a relationship with you. Fight the war in your prayer closet. We have a powerful weapon that we often neglect, and that's prayer. Battles are fought and won in prayer. It may be the longest campaign ever, but while they are still breathing and while they are still lost, we pray for them. We must be wise in our as we walk as lights of the Lord. And remember that we do not save anyone. So we need also to conform our life to Christ. Thirdly, conform our life to Christ. Paul says, to walk as children of light. That is the way as we walk, that's the way we live. Being lights in this world is our dominant trait. It's our character. We walk as our way of life. We know it's not just Sunday only. Our walk steady, resolved, purposefully walking in the Lord. As we produce fruit of the light, goodness, righteousness and truth. Goodness, righteousness and truth is what it looks like. A life that is shaped by goodness, righteousness and truth is a life of one walking in the ways of Christ. So that what? So that we try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Trying to discern what is pleasing to God. You know, there's a lot of things we know that are not pleasing to God, and there's no question about that. But finding, discerning, what's pleasing to the Lord? Discerning God's will. What's pleasing to you, O Lord? Goodness, righteousness, and truth, we know that. In a little bit of a sidebar, when we want to discern God's will, I know I've said it, I just want to know what God's will is. I've said that in the past. And in order for that, we must really have minds that are saturated with God's word. If we obey God's word, we'll know what His will is. We read His word, saturate our minds in His word, learn what He loved and what He hated. We must be lights in this world as we hear the word of God. Read the Word of God, pray the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, hiding God's Word in our hearts, as the Psalm says. And if we don't, if we're not trying to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, and if we have counsel, godly counsel telling us, this is really what you should do, as we go to them and they counsel us, but we reject it, we'll make foolish decisions when we disregard God's word and we disregard God's counsel. Also, he says here, to expose unfruitful deeds of darkness. Do not participate, do not partake. Shine the light of the gospel on the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Because we are light, brothers and sisters, when we are around darkness, darkness does not like it. It's inevitable that the deeds of darkness will be exposed. Living, walking as children of light will expose darkness. Now, it's not that we're on a mission to always be exposing people's sins, this and that. Just living the Christian life around others who are living in darkness will indeed make them uncomfortable. Or it ought to. This is what Ian Hamilton says. He says, by taking no part in the unfruitful works of darkness and simultaneously by doing what is good and right and true, Christians naturally shine the light of truth and righteousness into a world immersed in rebellion against God. Living as lights in a dark world. But as well, we know we're supposed to open our mouths humbly yet courageously, bold yet loving. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Sin resides in darkness, flourishes when it can hide. When light shines into darkness, sin is exposed. Unbelievers are uncomfortable around Christians who are being faithful to Jesus Christ. They are in darkness, light exposes sin, and they do not like it. Everything that becomes visible is light. A verse that commentators struggle to determine what it means exactly, so therefore I struggle to determine exactly what it means. But here's the idea behind it. You're responsible to be the light, and when the light exposes darkness, then darkness can change and become light as well by the sovereign grace of God in regeneration. In other words, God uses children of light as instruments in the lives of children of darkness so that they can also become children of light. Children of the light. Verse 14. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Paul is quoting from Isaiah 51, 60, and 52. This is an urgent call to the dead, to those who are in darkness, those without Christ. Jesus is the light of the world, and that those who are in darkness do not have to walk in darkness anymore. That God would say, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And we know that eternal darkness waits those who reject Christ. Eternal life awaits those who embrace Jesus Christ. So as we go to communion this morning, consider these things. Consider that we are light in this world. Jesus calls us salt. He calls us light. Are we shining for Christ, especially in a time as now? As the world grows darker, darker, and darker, and as the world gets more hostile to the things of the Lord, are we being the lights that we ought to be in this world? Let us pray, then we'll move to the communion portion. Father, thank you that you sent Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He came down into darkness, opened our eyes so that we may see. And Lord, we ask you that any in here who are in darkness, who if they died today, they would spend eternity in hell. They'd spend eternity in eternal darkness. God, that you would open their eyes so that they may see. That they may know the truth that will set them free. Lord, we pray for these things, O God. Help us to shine as lights, pointing people to the light of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.